Yeah, it's Tuesday in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Hope you're having a good one. Let's have a great one as we continue. By the way, shout out to John Lopez back in the saddle.
Shout out to me. I am back in the saddle.
That's right.
He said, salute to me.
Salute to me.
Yeah, salute me, please.
Had a little business to take care of yesterday that actually might have something to do with the Houston Sports Authority and the Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
I can't tell you.
Of course you can't.
I can't.
That's why you brought it up.
Yeah, I was like, literally no one asked. I want to make that known. No one asked at all. Yeah. You offered it freely. And then
I mean, I know, but I can't tell you.
I have a secret, but I can't tell you.
That's exactly right.
I'm Reginald Natula. Of course, that's Figgy Fig. Rock with you. And you always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. That's the number to text. Or you can also catch us on the various Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams. Both on YouTube, Sports Radio 610, and then, of course, the Twitch is available for you as well at 610.
You want me to give you a hint? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was about to say, I was like, are you for real about
sure.
to do this?
No. Happy to be back. Productive day. Great weekend, except for the Houston Texans.
I mean, it wasn't a great offense. Weekend for the Astros either, but they're back in the winning ways after yesterday, which was really fun. We'll talk more about that as we go. Of course, as I think we have all week, with practice out in West Virginia, we will chat with Sean Pendergast. I believe we might even get Seth as well, but we'll definitely get Sean at 12:40, courtesy of Yingling. We appreciate them for sending our guy out there.
What was that?
Do we have to see if we can get him to do another accent?
Yeah.
Like, let's see if we can get it. What is
so during the radiothon we had with Reggie and Ron, he was in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And so he was telling the story how I guess one of the workers – that brought him to his hotel.
Oh, that he was drinking.
No, they say he's pretty much saying you allowed to smoke on the balcony.
Yeah,
and he said it in the Jamaican accent.
Yes, he did.
Okay. All right. I remember that.
But I do think that was Red Stripe fuel. If we're going to be completely honest, I think so. That's got us to that place. But yeah, we'll talk to Sean at 12:40. Right now, though, let's talk about the Texans who are practicing out there in West Virginia at the Greenbrier. Sounds like it's beautiful weather. And some beautiful sights and vistas out there as well. Some of those being, one of those is transactional, but Damian Pierce has been activated. And so him and Christian Harris, they're getting work. They're not in full practice with the team, but they're off to the side, supposedly looking really good doing that. Like, what's the excitement level for both of these guys or each of these guys as it looks like the return to football is near?
Excitement level is an interesting way to put it. I don't know how excited I am because we've seen the body of work of Damian Pierce and
he refuses to be excited.
Yeah, hold on, and we know what Christian Harris can be, but obviously up and down last year and a little bit mysterious. How he didn't play. So excitement level probably medium, but certainly. Anticipating it. I mean, certainly looking forward to seeing what we see.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to get them out there. I mean, it makes sense that with those guys traveling to West Virginia that, hey, they should probably actually get out here and practice. Otherwise, what is the full idea? Yeah. Although I guess the idea is everybody is out there. They're probably most of them, if not all the staff out there for the most part. So you want them with them as they continue to get back. Obviously, I think really the big thing is Damian Pierce, thank God, right? Mm-hmm. Like this, nobody has really separated themselves amongst the non-Mixon running back core. So it's time to get in here and maybe see if you can shake things up, if you can provide some level of spark or, kind of figure out your place in this. We had an unofficial depth chart, of course, ahead of a preseason game number one this Saturday versus the Vikings come out. And Damian Pierce slided right behind Nick Chubb.
How about that? That's one of the many things that sort of, eyebrow raiser on the initial depth chart. And while you they always call it the unofficial depth chart, I guess it becomes official during the regular season or right before the regular season. But this is the pecking order.
To some degree. I think
this is the pecking order that they're having on the field. And I always say this, like you say, you were about to say to some degree, but I think this is important to players. It is very important to players to be first on the depth chart, second, whatever it may be, that their goal is for this camp. So while it is unofficial and certainly going to change, this is important to Arianti Urseri. Arianti Urseri is the, at least in this depth chart, the starting right tackle. That matters.
A rookie starting right tackle.
That matters. And while it's not official and it could change, it matters to them. So I think it's sort of like it pays, they feel like their work is paying off.
No, for sure. And I, the reason why I say it, it, you know, it to some extent is that I don't think coaches love having to put out these depth charts during this point of the season where they're still working on things and finding things and figuring things out. So sometimes, you know, they might not be, it might not be an entirely accurate representation of where they feel everybody is. Just looking at the way that the Texans have put this one out, and we'll kind of divulge some of the interesting things that we see on this depth chart as we go. But just looking at some of the things that they put out right here, it does feel like it fits and falls in line with some of what a lot of what we've seen and some of the things that we've hypothesized. There's a couple of interesting things, including obviously Ariante Ursary being that right tackle and right tackle one on this depth chart, with Blake Fisher being second. And of course, that's only been even further augmented by the idea that with Cam Robinson off to the sidelines, he's not practicing again today, from what we can tell from various people who are reporting on the ground, that, you know, Tay has now moved to left tackle, and Titus Howard slides out to right tackle. So even more, like, it's not just right tackle one and then Blake Fisher right tackle two. Yeah. He might be further down. I do wonder when Trent Brown is healthy, where does he slide in? Because he might slide in ahead of Blake Fisher. Like, this is very clearly a gap there, and Ariante Ursary is going to be a starting tackle for this Texas team.
Yeah, he is. It is very interesting. You know, Blake Fisher, and I know this was talked about yesterday, but when they did have that injury to Cam Robinson, lower leg, Ariante Ursary moved to left tackle, as you mentioned, Titus Howard to right tackle. That says something about where Blake Fisher stands, that they couldn't just slide him in to that spot. So Blake Fisher, certainly, you know, that's one of the interesting things to me on this depth chart and what's going on at practice there. The other one that we talk about and have talked about is your guy, your guy John Metchie. With at the wide receiver depth chart right now, and again, as it sits right now, you got obviously Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, Jaden Higgins with the first group as the third wide receiver, but then the backups are Xavier Hutchinson, Jalen Knoll, and Justin Watson. Justin Watson is the backups to Jaden Higgins on the depth chart. John Metchie is with Braxton Berrios and Jared Wayne on the third team.
Yeah, and there's clearly opportunities for things to shift. I think that obviously preseason games will be helpful. Although, just in a general sense, from a 30,000-foot view, this is a Texans team that I don't feel like it feels like other teams that come into training camp. It feels like they know a lot of things about this team, and they're figuring out small things on periphery. If you look at the way that this depth chart falls, I could easily see this being it all the way through, because they have a certain understanding of we kind of had an idea that Jaden Higgins was going to be that guy on the opposite of Nico Collins. There's been nothing to dislodge that. It seems like that's been continually the case. We've seen Hutchinson get some rest with the first team at times. It makes sense that they like him. Jalen Knoll has clearly, he's flashed. Like, he has, you know, found his way to get open. He's gotten a lot of footballs early on. This makes sense. And then with the way that they've talked about Justin Watson, a consummate pro, that could easily just be the six wide receivers that you have, possibly adding Berrios as a special teams kind of specialist, and then we're done here. Like, I don't know that it would have to be a lot for Jared Wayne and John Metchie to overcome what I think is already coalescing for this wide receiver room, and as evidenced by this depth chart right now.
Yeah, and you say, they already know a lot coming into camp. Well, especially on the defense, there are, you know, zero surprises on the defense.
Zero?
Zero on the starters.
Mario Edwards ahead of Tim Settle is a little surprising to me.
But Mario Edwards was a starter last year.
He was. Yeah, but the way that Tim Settle... Yeah.
He's played well.
He was incredible down the stretch. Actually, for the entirety of last year, like his pressure from the interior is something that you cannot look past. Because pressure from the interior is something that is becoming more a necessity at this point from the defensive interior. And he provides that. The thing that they've talked about is, can he do that more consistently? And it feels like he's been doing that to some degree. So, like, for me, in my brain, I've looked at him as maybe starter caliber, but I don't know that that's the worst thing.
But he's
in the
definitely
world.
In the rotation. They rotate so much in there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think.
And Toji, we talked about this a little bit. He's the backup to Mario Edwards on this initial depth chart. He's had a very good camp. If you want some sort of a minor surprise, maybe very minor on the depth chart, I would say two of them: Christian Harris as the backup linebacker and Miles Bryant as the backup nickel. Arthur Mollett is third, and EJ Speed is behind Christian Harris at linebacker.
Yeah, one of those more interesting to me than the other. With all due respect to Arthur Mollett, he's had a red jersey on a lot. He just barely got into contact, and, you know, there still remains things to be seen. Plus, he's also new to this. Like, you signed him, was that just before, in the midst of camp, like as camp was starting? We're still seeing him, acclimate to what this defense is, whereas Miles Bryant has a level of familiarity. He's operated in this role as a secondary player to Petrie. It is EJ Speed, who has, again, been with this team all in this offseason, who has actually played. And Christian Harris being slotted in ahead of him is kind of interesting to me. Obviously, they believe in him and his capabilities, and they should. When he has played, he has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That when he has played has carried a lot of weight here. And, of course, hopefully we see him here shortly, and he looks like that guy, so we don't have to worry about this. But I did find that interesting because EJ's been pretty good in his time out there on the fields as well.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when you look at these initial depth charts, and the EJ Speed, Christian Harris thing might fall into this category. Sometimes the coaching staff is trying to send a message to the player. And I think where that's most visible is at running back. You know, they have Damian Pierce as the backup to Nick Chubb, ahead of Dari Ogunbowale, ahead of Woody Marks. To me, that's almost like a message to Damian Pierce. We believe in you. We think you can thrive in this offense, but you've got to prove it. So they've got him as the second team running back. I think maybe a little bit with Christian Harris. We know what you can do. You have Pro Bowl, you know, potential. So let's get it going.
Yeah. From 346, how glad are we as Texans fans that Bill O'Brien doesn't coach this team? Rookies in key positions wouldn't happen. No, for sure. And they've been given clearly a fair shake. And very early on, before we even get them in a joint practice or preseason game, we've got guys that are being believed to that high
and available to the media, which never happened.
Yeah.
They're putting guys out. They had Higgins the other day.
Yeah, it's been like that for a couple years now, man. Even with Lassiter just coming in as a second-round pick.
Yeah.
And see how big of a role he had last year.
And making him available. That's something that I was like, first time that happened, I was like, whoa, so you can do that.
Yeah. Some other things of note, you got Dylan Horton and Darrell Taylor as your secondary pass rushers. Of course, I know that you were missing a Danico Autry and a Derek Barnett at that level, but I think that feels right with the way that Dylan Horton has practiced, although he's not practicing today. And Darrell Taylor has been he's been really fun since they brought him in. Obviously, more of a speed guy on the edge, but he's been effective, as it feels like damn near everybody on the defense has to a good degree. And then, of course, shout out to Jalen Smith, who ahead of Damon Arnett and Tremont Smith as one of the cornerbacks. In my mind, he's cornerback three if we're talking outside cornerback without, you know, adding that nickelback role or whatever. He's just, J-Rock's been great. So, no, that one tracks. But, yeah, nothing else that catches your attention off of this, right?
Yes, absolutely. The only other thing that pops for me the depth chart is the ever-important center position, Jarrett Patterson.
That's true.
Jarrett Patterson in front of Andrews. So that, to me, is important. And we are getting more information as they're practicing now and starting to go at it a little bit. Apparently, Nick Chubb, popped a big run, which in and of itself is pretty important against this defense, because they haven't even been able to run. I mean, they haven't been able to do any. Yesterday, they had false starts. They had they were stuffed at the line of scrimmage. Four interceptions, I think. Pick six, just getting worked. Just a horrible, horrible day offensively. Well, according to DJ Bienemy, Nick Chubb popped one for what would have been at least 30 yards, according to him.
Yeah, and that's a good sign for multiple reasons. Obviously, the idea of getting explosives out of Nick Chubb is a good thing to see, right? Especially as folks like me and others have looked at the explosion or what seemingly is the lack thereof and kind of questioned it. See some of like the explosive plays, even if he's not as explosive, is good. But on top of that, it reminds us that, you know, the practice during training camp, development isn't linear. I was reminded of that with Sean Pendergast, who talked to CJ Gardner-Johnson yesterday. Check them out. Check that out on social media, I believe, on X, the Sports Radio 610, or maybe it might have been Sean Pendergast himself who tweeted it. It was worth a listen. One of the early things he was talking about was the interception that he gathered yesterday.
Yeah.
I think that was in two-minute drill. And he said that, you know, it's just a new thing, that a new package or a new player, what have you, that that coach had put in for that day.
Yeah.
And it's worth remembering, like, oh, yeah, that's right. There's new things coming in for the defense that the offense is still acclimating it to as well, on top of installing and finding their foundation with all of those things. And so today, as you're seeing new things come in for the defense, I do wonder if, hey, the offense is going to battle back with, okay, we saw what happened yesterday. What are we doing to kind of counteract that and push ourselves forward? So it does stand to reason that hopefully today is a better day for the offense as they pick up some more of those things touching ground in West Virginia.
Well, next play.
Okay. All right.
Interception by Kamari Lassiter. He was targeting Nico Collins, overshot him a little bit, and Lassiter intercepted it. Another little observation that we're getting here.
How many interceptions they got?
Dude, yeah, I wanted to stop down on that.
Another interception.
Somebody need to come up with the stats. I know Cleveland been very stat heavy when it comes to training camp.
We doing training camp stats.
I would like to know the stats on how many. One. Yeah, how many interceptions they got?
Guys, who's saying this right now? I am probably viewed as the stat guy on the show.
You anti-camp.
I don't need camp stats, but I do think like.
But you stopped when I said another interception.
No, and that's because the general, like, I don't need the exact stats, but the general idea is that these quarterbacks have been throwing a lot up to other team.
A lot.
Yes, it's a turnover defense. I think we know that for certain, and I'm excited to see
it
more of that.
It better be the way camp going.
But there has been a number of kind of errant passes. Do you have, like, does that hit you in a particular place? Seeing CJ, Davis Mills obviously doesn't matter as much. Because
that was CJ.
Best case scenario.
That was CJ to Nico.
Sure. I'm saying best case scenario, you don't have to see Davis play at all, honestly. But CJ having more of these instances where, yes, he's had some timely and, like, you know, good anticipatory throws, but he's also had some errant throws in a way that you don't want to see from CJ. Any concerns with that thus far?
Yes. Look, I was telling you guys before the show even began, it's starting to feel a little bit like a Yogi Berra camp to me. Like Yogi Berra once said, it gets late early out there. Well, preseason gets late early, you know, when you start doing this in preseason games. Of course, they're playing Saturday. No, panic. How can you not notice that? How can you not realize this offense? You know, we kept talking about it. You know, it takes time. I was the first one to say I would be very surprised if it takes 4 or 5 regular season games before we start really seeing what this offense is. But nevertheless, I wasn't here Saturday, but let's go Friday, Saturday, you tell me, yesterday and today, what, 8 interceptions? 9?
There's been a number of them.
Yeah.
There's been a number of them, so yeah.
Have they had a clean game with no interceptions?
No.
A clean day's practice?
At all this camp?
Not that I can recall.
Yes, I'm having a hard time recalling that myself.
Not that it matters, but...
But no. Does it matter if it's that many is my point.
Yeah. When do you start to worry a little bit?
It gets late early.
Somebody said, I'd like to see Davis a lot in fourth quarters if possible, if we have leads.
What?
Great point. No, the idea of winning a game so big, that here come number 10 to shut this thing down.
About 50, it got to be, 42 to 10 or something? Yeah. It's just over?
Yeah. I'll take it.
I would, too.
I would love that. That'd be interesting, though. How likely do you think it is that the Texans run up the score like that, especially if they're going to have more of a run-based, ball-dominant offense? We'll see.
I don't see it, man. Especially if you're looking at Nick Caley being the New England offense type of deal. I don't think their offense was really like that.
As of right now, they got to figure out how to run the ball consistently. A little glimmer of hope there, though. You bust a 30-yard one thereabouts for Nick Chubb. That's a good sign. Hopefully we'll see more. And we'll talk to Sean Pendergast and maybe Seth Payne of the morning show, Payne and Pendergast, at 12:40, get their insights as to what practice looks like today in West Virginia. Yes, Steven, we do have one of the best secondaries. That is something that we credit. But after a while, to some degree, you go, all right.
Yeah.
Like, and some of these, to be fair, like qualitatively as opposed to quantitatively, there have been some poor passes at times that make you go, hey, what's happening there? Like, what was the practice? What were you working on? Because sometimes those interceptions are balls that would have been thrown away, or balls that you would have tucked in, ran, or what have you, that you're just trying to get give the wide receiver a chance on the rep to practice. But there have been a number of them where we're starting to get to a place where I go, hey, what's happening? Is it communication? Is it, you know, trying to get on the same page with new concepts or whatever? Especially with whenever I see a CJ to Nico, because that's probably the most ironclad pairing that should be happening on the offense. So interceptions happening there is always a little bit surprising.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. A lot of stuff to talk about, with including Cam Robinson not practicing again and Ariante Ursary sliding to left tackle. But today, Ed Ingram is the right guard in the stead of
And
Jake Andrews center. They're doing a lot of moving and mixing to figure some things out. We'll talk more about that as we go. But coming up next, the Astros got a victory yesterday, but we also, maybe more importantly for the Astros, got a little bit of another injury update. Are you buying it? Because for the first time ever, I think Lopez is. 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.